Acts 11, verses 1 through 18. Let's pay careful attention now to God's word to us. Now the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them." But Peter began and explained it to them in order. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, something like a great sheet descending, being let down from heaven by its four corners. And it came down to me. Looking at it closely, I observed animals and beasts of prey and reptiles and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But the voice answered a second time from heaven, 'What God has made clean, do not call common.' This happened three times, and all was drawn up again into heaven. And behold, at that very moment, three men arrived at the house in which we were, sent to me from Caesarea. And the Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen the angel stand in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and all your household.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them just as on us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard these things, they fell silent. And they glorified God, saying, "Then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life." So far, God's word. Let's come before him now and ask for a blessing on this word. Father, it is a gift that you have given us this morning, your word here in our hands. We praise you for your word freely given to us. We thank you that we can read this word here in this country without having to look over our shoulder, without having to worry. Help us, Lord. Open our hearts to this precious gift of your word that you have given us this morning. Speak to us, Lord, and challenge us as we need to be challenged. We pray this in Jesus' name. And God's people said, Amen. A fiddler on the roof. Sounds crazy, no? But here in our little village of Anaktava, you might say, every one of us is a fiddler on the roof, trying to scratch out a pleasant, simple tune without breaking his neck. It isn't easy. You may ask, why do we stay up here if it's so dangerous? Well, we stay because Anaktava is our home. And how do we keep our balance? That I can tell you in one word. And that word is? That word is? Tradition. Tradition, 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 tradition. Because of our traditions, we've kept our balance for many, many years. Here in Anaktava, we have traditions for everything. How to sleep, how to eat, how to work, how to wear clothes. For instance, we always keep our heads covered and always wear a little prayer shawl. This shows our constant devotion to God. You may ask, how did this tradition get started? I tell you, I don't know. But it's a tradition. And because of our traditions, every one of us knows who he is and what God expects him to do. So begins the musical, The Fiddler on the Roof. Tradition, tradition, tradition. And this morning, in our passage this morning, we also come face to face with tradition. As the church wrestled with the traditions that they held on to, the old ways versus the new way of the gospel. In tradition, they found comfort. But in the gospel, there was a challenge that would make them uncomfortable, that would force the fledgling church to look at itself. And brothers and sisters, it's also a challenge for us this morning. Who are we as a church? What's important to us? Why do we exist? What place does tradition have for us as a church? What are the things that we do because we just feel comfortable? Our passage this morning challenges us to think about that, to talk about that as brothers and sisters in Christ. And as we do so this morning, we're going to be reminded that the gospel is the most important thing. The gospel is the most important thing. Now, I'm not going to go back this morning and pull apart so much Peter's words here in terms of the vision that he received. We're going to pick up a few things that are different from what we've looked at the last couple of weeks. And if you haven't been with us for the past couple of weeks and you want to know more about this vision that Peter had, I'd encourage you to go back and look and or listen to those previous messages. But this morning we're going to highlight and look at what is different in our passage compared to the previous two tellings of the story. And as we do so, as we look at the gospel this morning, our first two points are negative points, things that get in the way of the gospel. And then our third point is the glory of the gospel, a positive point. And so the first thing we're going to see this morning is that disunity gets in the way of the gospel. Disunity gets in the way of the gospel. Now, the Reformed gossip chain throughout New Zealand is fairly legendary. It doesn't take long for news to go from one church to another church. In fact, if you want to know what's happening, read it in a church's bulletin, is the saying. There's so many people that are related. There's so many people that are talking to each other. And nowadays, it's even more so with email and Facebook and Instagram. News travels through like wildfire. But there's actually nothing new. The same happened to the church back in Acts chapter 11. In chapter 11, verse 1, we read this. The apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. It spread like wildfire through Judea, what had happened there in Caesarea. People had heard, people knew, people were talking about it. And our text tells us that Peter went up to Jerusalem. And as he did so, he faced criticism. They had heard the news that the Gentiles had received the word of God, and then the circumcision party criticized him. But notice what they criticized him for. They criticized him for this, verse 3. You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them. They'd heard that they'd received the gospel, that they'd heard the word of God. That's what they weren't so worried about. But what they were worried about was how Peter had broken the laws. The food laws, the fellowship laws. And the problem that Jewish Christians had at that time is that they were placing their laws higher than the word of God. They added extra laws. We've seen, as we looked at the past couple of weeks, that the whole idea of unclean food and fellowship with Gentiles was a really big deal for a Jewish person in that time. It was groundbreaking for Peter. This was a big deal for the church. This was an issue that threatened at this time to potentially split the church into two. Jewish Christians, Gentile Christians. A potential for disunity, something that would not have been good for the gospel. when people are fighting in a church, when brothers and sisters are fighting in a church, it is not a good look for those looking in, is it? So a question we can ask ourselves this morning as we look back to the church there in Acts is, what can cause disunity in our church? What can cause division in our church? And this morning I want to address something that is a potential for our churches here in New Zealand to cause that division. And it won't surprise you to know that that issue is COVID-19. To vaccinate. To not vaccinate. To wear masks, to not wear masks, to come here and worship, to not come together and worship. Now, I want to be clear here. Every single one of those things I've mentioned here are Christian liberty issues. It's up to you as a Christian to decide to make those choices on these things. But brothers and sisters, here is a potential to divide us here as a church and to divide Christians throughout New Zealand. And I have already seen Christians at war with each other over this virus. This week I read a post on Facebook from a friend. And this person posted 1 Corinthians 13 about love and how we are to love each other. You know the passage, love bears all things, love accepts all things. And someone replied to this post and said, yes, and you and your family should go and get vaccinated, because otherwise you're a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal, you and your church. What a horrible thing to say. I was speaking to someone else this week, and they were telling me about a conversation they had with someone, and this person said, oh, I thought that all Christians were against vaccination. Now again, I'm not going to sit here and tell you what you should or shouldn't do, but what I want you to see and recognize here this morning is there is much potential for division. And my urge to you this morning, brothers and sisters, is that as we talk together, as we discuss these things, as we work together, we need to be so, so careful to remember that people are watching. People are listening. And so when you go to post something on Facebook, when you go to have that conversation with someone, be very, very careful. In some ways, the issues themselves aren't that important. What is important is how we show love to each other and what we do and say, how that proclaims the gospel. When we throw insults at each other across Facebook or talking to each other, when we argue with each other, that does nothing, nothing whatsoever to promote the cause of the gospel. Can we discuss these issues? Yes. Should we discuss these issues? Absolutely. But let's do so as brothers and sisters in Christ, who are brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's use these conversations as an opportunity not to stand up on our soapbox and tell everyone what we believe, but rather as an opportunity to proclaim the hope of Jesus Christ. Because as the church fights, as brothers and sisters fight, the devil wrings his hands in joy. And the gospel is left far behind. Take care, brothers and sisters, how we speak, how we talk. And yes, so I'm talking here about COVID-19, but you can apply any issue to that. How we deal with each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Remember, the gospel should always be central. We are brothers and sisters saved together in Jesus Christ that, yes, have different opinions on things. but Jesus Christ has saved each and every one of us. We need to be careful how we speak, how we talk to each other. Disunity gets in the way of the gospel. But there's another challenge that our passage brings, and I've touched on that already, and that's our second point this morning. Our second point is traditionalism. It's a big word, isn't it, boys and girls? Traditionalism gets in the way of the gospel. Our passage tells us in verse 2, so Peter went up to Jerusalem, and the circumcision party criticized him, saying. Now, who is this circumcision party? Down in my footnote, it says, those of the circumcision. If you have the NIV Bible, I think it says circumcised believers. Am I right? It says circumcised believers? I see Peter nodding at the back. Circumcised believers. Now, we're used to thinking when we see party, we think of the Labour Party or the National Party or the ACT Party or the Green Party. It's easy to look at this and say, here are a couple of people who are causing a whole lot of trouble. But reality is that the original interpretation, in the original language, what it's being saying here is those who were circumcised. Remembering the church is just beginning to go out to Gentiles. So really, the whole church in Jerusalem was wrestling with this. They had heard the news of what Peter had done, and they were asking questions. Now, we know the full story. We've walked with Peter through this and Cornelius. We know exactly what has happened, what Peter did, what God said. But the rest of the church hadn't yet heard that. And they hadn't yet heard the story. On the news this week, we've had several examples of people who have been breaking lockdown, who have come out of Auckland and crossed the border and filed fraudulent applications, and they've gone to various places. But imagine seeing someone driving down here with Auckland plates and an I Love Auckland on my jersey, and they were talking about how they'd just come from Auckland. The first thing you'd be going is like, what's going on here? And then it turns out that they're a doctor and they're working at doing a special case here in Canterbury. You don't know the full story. And that's the case here as well. The issue was one of association with Gentiles. And as I said, this had the potential to split the church. The church was forced to wrestle with various questions. They had no problem with Gentiles hearing the word of God. But what had to happen before Jesus came is that they had to convert totally to the Jewish religion. Men had to be circumcised. They had to obey all the food laws. And these were the kind of things that the church was beginning to wrestle with. We know that because those are the exact questions that the first synod dealt with in Acts chapter 15 in a couple of chapters. And so what the church, the new church, was facing as Christian Jews was the old traditions, the old way. Many of the laws that had been placed, that had been made and written down, went above and beyond what God had set in place. Just as we read from Fiddler on the Roof, tradition drove much of what the way the church thought. This is how we please God, they thought, by following all these many, many rules. Now again, we need to be fair to the Jewish Christians. We've seen over the past couple of weeks how much this was a challenge for Peter to get his head around. Peter had their benefit of being spoken to by God, the Holy Spirit speaking to him. The church needed some more time to wrestle through these things. Jerusalem had not yet heard the story of what happened. They just heard things passed on through the rumor mill. So Peter explains what went on, and he recites essentially virtually identical what we've read and looked at in Acts chapter 10 over the past couple of weeks. He wrestled with tradition himself. But as he saw what happened, as he came to a conclusion, he says this to himself there, and he says this, that he said this to himself there in verses 16 and following. As I began to speak, as I was speaking in verse 15, the Holy Spirit fell on them, that's Cornelius and his household, just as at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in the Lord's way? Who was I that I could stand in the Lord's way? Peter knew that the old ways, the old traditions, had now become a barrier to the gospel. And the Holy Spirit wanted to address that in the church. Through Peter, through Cornelius, the church was forced to face tradition. What they were holding on to, what they thought was important, wasn't so important. And we know, as I said, the church is going to continue to struggle with this. What does circumcision mean? What do the food laws mean? Acts 15, the synod, Paul's letters deal with this as well. But the question for us this morning is, what traditions, what things do we hang on to simply for the sake of being comfortable? Simply for the sake of avoiding being uncomfortable? A good number of years ago, I sat in a church AGM. We are really blessed here in Rangiora. Our church AGMs are wonderful times of unity. But at this particular AGM in another church, the church was discussing a very, very important issue. This issue, I hope you're sitting down, and at home I hope you're sitting down. This issue was very, very important. It was, what time was church going to be in the afternoon? And you would not believe the discussion that was being held around this at this meeting. And during this discussion, an elderly gentleman in the church stood up and he said, you know, to change a church time is a very important thing. And then he sat down. And I was confused, but then it dawned on me. The argument he was making is, this is something that we don't touch. This is the way it's always been, and this is the way it's always going to be. I can't actually remember if we decided to change the time or not, but that wasn't the point. You see, brothers and sisters, when it comes to tradition, there are two errors we can face. Two ways that we can go. The first is that tradition is inviolable. What we have done, what we've always done, cannot be changed. It's the way we've done it. It feels comfortable. It's good. If people don't like it, they just have to get used to it. The problem with that is that we place tradition at the same level of authority as Scripture. And when we do that, when we say our traditions are important and we're not going to change them, we become a barrier to the gospel. That's one way, clinging on to tradition for our dear lives. But the other way is just as bad for the gospel. Throw it all out. Get rid of it. Let's see how much outside the square we can go. Let's be edgy. Let's be attractive. Then people will come in. Let's be all things to all people. And that way everyone will want to come and be a part of this hip, trendy group, the Reformed Church of Rangiora. But we'll also have to change our name and things as well, because Reformed doesn't sound so trendy either, does it? You can go one of two ways. What's the answer? Well, the answer is neither, and as we look at our passage here, we can see how Peter was guided as he walked through this path, as he guided the church through this path. Verse 16, he said, John, he remembered the word of the Lord. As this happened, as the Holy Spirit fell on these people, he remembered the words of Jesus Christ. John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. He remembered the promise of the Holy Spirit poured out on the church. He remembered as he saw this and recognized it, that this was the Gentile Pentecost, as we talked about last week. The same as the Jewish Pentecost in Jerusalem. He recognized Jesus' words as predicting that the church was going to be open to all. He was guided by Scripture, by Jesus' words. He was guided by the Holy Spirit, who showed him the right way. Now, we don't have the Holy Spirit poured out to us in the same way as it did at Pentecost, but we have the same Holy Spirit given to us, brothers and sisters. And we have here God's word to us to guide us, to direct us into how we should be a church. Now, tradition itself isn't bad. Traditionalism is. And the key here for us to understand this morning is that if we just do things as a church the way we've always done, because it feels comfortable, then we head down the path of traditionalism. We need to be able to understand and explain from the Bible why we do what we do, who we are as a church, what our goal is, what is our direction. And I'm not just talking about how we run our services. It's how we are as a church, who we are as a church, what we do in our fellowship groups, why we meet together as fellowship groups. And so the question we need to ask ourselves as we examine our traditions is not just to throw them out and come up with something new, but simply to understand why we do what we do and bring what we do in our various activities and in our worship to the light of Scripture and ask the question, why do we do what we do? Can you explain, if someone asked you, what happens when you gather together as a Reformed church? Why do you do all these sorts of things? Why do you sing these songs? Why do you, and we're not at the moment because our shortened services, but why do you read the law all the time? Why do we do that as a church? Can you explain those kind of things? There's a reason why. I'm not going to do your homework for you this morning. You need to go away and think about that. Talk about that as a church. Talk about it as brothers and sisters. And in doing that, we needn't be afraid of asking those questions. Why do we do what we do? Is something we do just because it makes us feel comfortable? Is it potentially a barrier for the gospel? I don't know about you, but this kind of conversation makes me personally feel very uncomfortable. I like my comfort zone. I like doing things because that's the way I've always done them. But Scripture doesn't let us stay in that place. I think our traditions in many ways are good. We hold God's word central. That's a good tradition. Our worship is characterized by honor, respect, and awe. At least it should be. Seeking to bring God glory. But brothers and sisters, we always need to consider, how does what we do highlight, proclaim, show people the gospel? And if we're just doing what we're doing because we like it, because we're comfortable with it, we are getting in the way of the gospel. Those are the negatives: disunity, traditionalism, questions we need to ask ourselves as a church. But that's not the end goal here. The gospel is always a means to an end, and the end of the gospel is always God's glory. And that's where we finish off this morning. Point three, our final point, the glory that the gospel brings. Now, again, we know the story of Peter, and if you haven't, I encourage you to go back and listen to some of our messages the past couple of weeks. We've seen how Peter has said things, something slightly different. He remembered the words, verse 16, of Jesus. But also note what he says there in verse 14. This is something that we haven't seen before. Verse 13, just jumping back a little bit, speaking of Cornelius, And he told us how he had seen the angel stand in his house and say, send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. Now, we've read this before. But notice what he says here, and this is new information. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and your household. Peter reveals to us that that was the goal of all of this, that Cornelius and his household would be saved. Cornelius was called in a vision. Peter was called. Peter was led by the Holy Spirit so that the wall between Jews and Gentiles would be broken down. So that Cornelius could be saved, his household could be saved, so that Gentiles could have the same gift that the Jewish Christians had already received. So that the gospel could save all of those who believed in Jesus Christ. For the church, the evidence was overwhelming. They heard the story, saw the vision. They also had witnesses. We read there in verse 12, and it's easy to brush over that, but verse 12 we read this, and the Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction. That's Peter speaking. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the house. These were the same Jewish Christians who were amazed in verse 45 when the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. Now, in Roman law in those days, for a will to be accepted, it needed to have seven seals, seven witnesses on the legal document. Here we have our seven witnesses. Remember, this book of Acts has been written to Theophilus, a Roman leader. And so even here he's being told, here is evidence that the gospel is for you, Theophilus. The Jewish Christians were convinced, those of the circumcision. Those who opposed Peter were convinced. What did they do as a result of this? Verse 18. When they heard these things, they fell silent. They didn't have a word to say, except they continued to glorify God. Then to the Gentiles they said, also God has granted repentance that leads to life. The church became convinced and they rejoiced because the gospel was going to go out freely to everyone. And because of that, they glorified God, because that is the purpose of the gospel, to bring God glory, to honor to him. So can you rejoice in this morning for yourself? That you have been given repentance unto life, that you are called a child of God, because the most important thing is the gospel of Jesus Christ in your life. Can you this morning say, yes, Jesus Christ is my Savior. I want to live my life to bring him glory. Because the gospel is the most important thing in our lives, and also as we proclaim that gospel to others. In the 80s, for the church, it was the worship wars. And we as a denomination weren't immune from those worship wars. In the 2020, over the next year or so, we are going to be facing as a church the COVID wars. As we are going to face various questions about liberty, about choice, about honour and respect to our governments. But the question we need to have in the back of our minds this morning, and I want to leave you with this morning, brothers and sisters, is the question that Peter asked. Who are we? Who am I? Who are you to stand in the way of the gospel? What barriers are we putting up as a church? What barriers are you putting up? As a church this morning, we are called to become more united, to have conversations with each other, yes, over the difficult things, but to show the gospel as we do so. To ask ourselves, why do we do what we do? To avoid the era of traditionalism, but all for the glory of God as we proclaim that gospel. So brothers and sisters, our question this morning is, who are we to stand in the Lord's way? How can we put the gospel first? Let's ask the Lord's help to answer that question and also put that question into practice now. Please pray with me. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, if we're honest as we come before you this morning, we must confess that in these changing times as a church, it is so easy for disunity to creep in. As we navigate the waters of COVID as a church, Heavenly Father, help us to think always, first and foremost, how does what we're saying, how does what we're interacting with bring glory to you? How does what we do proclaim and champion the glorious, wonderful message of hope of Jesus Christ? Because that's what this world needs. We pray this morning, Heavenly Father, and this is a bold prayer, that you would make us uncomfortable with being comfortable. Not challenging things for the sake of challenging them, but seeking to understand why we do what we do. Seeking to understand how we can bring you glory and how the gospel can be advanced in who we are and what we do as a church. So make us uncomfortable. Challenge us, we pray, so that we can become increasingly champions of your gospel. That we can hold out to people the gift that you promise, repentance unto life. Give us a heart. Give us a passion. Give us a fire to proclaim your gospel, we pray. That we too can rejoice as your name is glorified. And we pray this in the name that saves us, in Jesus' name. And God's people said, Amen. Let's stand now and sing from number 502. Number 502. A song that challenges us to consider how we live the gospel in the way that we interact with each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Make me a channel of your peace. Let's stand and sing these words together now.